Please remain standing and pray with me and for me. Father, we thank you. We come to the preaching of your word. And Lord, I know in myself there is no adequacy. So we ask you, come and speak to us. Holy Spirit, come and stir our hearts as we hear the words of Christ proclaimed to us today, that we may be transformed and become more and more and more and more like him. And we ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Usually when I'm writing a sermon, the hardest part, believe it or not, for me is the title. I would just like to put Sermon 27, Sermon 35, Sermon 47. But I remember when we were streaming everything on COVID and they would come and ask, what's the title for today's sermon? I'm like, I don't know, you pick one. But today came very easily as we heard Christ talking about humility, and I'm going to tell you today's title is Humility and How I'm the Best at It. I might need to listen to Jesus today. But my introduction into playing music came very long time ago. I was probably 13 or 14, and my two uncles had a music group. They would travel around to any and every church that would invite them. Their bass player quit all of a sudden, and my uncle handed me the bass guitar and said, you need to figure this out in a month. I said, okay. And actually, I figured a little bit out and got better and better and better. And we would go to any and every church, and often they were way, way, way back up in the mountains. Good old country folk. And I remember this one church very, very vividly. I closed my eyes and I can see what I'm about to tell you unfold as if it happened yesterday. So we were at this little country church and it was coming time to the end of the service and they invited one of the original members, an elder, to up forward. He was in a wheelchair. He was very, very old. And like any good Pentecostal church, they asked him to close in prayer. And you know what that means. It's going to be about 20 minutes. And as he started to pray, he was getting more and more excited. And I have a habit of praying with my eyes open because I like to see what God's doing. So this man was very into his prayer. I don't remember what he was praying. All I remember as I was listening and watching him pray, his top dentures flew out of his mouth. He caught it in midair, shoved it back in, and didn't miss a lick. If you didn't have your eyes open, you would have never known it happened. I can't make this up. In a few minutes after his prayer, the fire department busted into the church. Said, we've got a report of a fire here. And that old preacher goes, there ain't no fire here but the fire of the Holy Ghost. Come to find out, they had the wrong address. The fire department. But country folk have a reputation of kind of being a little unsophisticated. And such was the reputation of Jesus. For he was from a very unsophisticated town in Israel. And in fact, the recorded description of people's opinion of those who followed him was the astounding, unlearned, and ignorant men. So today in our gospel, a learned and supposedly unignorant man invites Jesus. Not only was he sophisticated, he was pretty high ranking. A ruler of the Pharisees invites Jesus for dinner, not to feed Jesus, but scripture tells us they were watching him carefully, which literally could be translated as sinister espionage. They were looking at Jesus. And little did they know that Jesus was looking at them. And he watches them, how they all jockey for the best seats in the house. And he tells them not to do that. He tells them to take the lowest place so that you can be moved up and receive honor. And he tells us those familiar words, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted." And St. James says the same thing, "Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up." And in our day, we don't hear a whole lot about humility, do we? Go to the bookstore and ask the person behind the desk, "Could you please direct me to the humility department? I want to know where the humility book section is." I don't think you'll have much success. Because pride has become a virtue in our culture of self-expression. And it's dangerous because that pride says that I am the center of my universe. These guys in the scripture today were all choosing the places of honor. But Thomas Merton wrote that pride makes us artificial and humility makes us real. And the danger, a couple of dangers of pride is, number one, it's hard to recognize in ourselves. It's hard for us to see pride. It's very sneaky and subtle, and sometimes it's very blatant, but we don't usually see it in ourselves. And for my obligatory musical reference, I had to go outside my normal comfort zone. You probably know the song if you're got any age on you. Carly Simon's song, "You're So Vain." You probably think this song's about you. And it was written about people that she knew and had a relationship with that were vain, and they probably thought she was singing about them. And it's hard for us to recognize pride in our life. So today, very quickly, we're going to take a little pride quotient test. So you can see if there's pride in your life or not before we move on to humility. And there's a few statements, and in yourself, in your mind, in your heart, answer honestly yes or no. If you want to do so out loud, that's fine, but I wouldn't recommend it because then everybody would know. So quietly answer. Yes or no. I enjoy being the center of attention. I think I deserve the best, yes or no. Much of my conversation is filled with I, yes or no. I don't like to be corrected or changed, yes or no. My feelings are easily hurt, yes or no. I'm impatient with other people's mistakes, yes or no. I don't get enough appreciation for all I do. Yes or no. I'm offended if I don't receive a thank you for a gift or service done or given. Yes or no. I seldom ask for help because I can always do better. Yes or no. I feel pretty good that I didn't answer yes to every question. Yes or no. If you answered two or more yeses to any of those questions, you probably think this sermon is about you, don't you? Funny enough, early in the ministry, after the Sunday service, a member came up to me very mad at me, irate, yelling, I'm red in the face, and he goes, "I don't appreciate your sermon being specifically directed and about me." Young? Probably not. I didn't give him the best answer. I said, "Well, I'm so sorry you feel that important." And that made him more mad, and I can't figure out why. So it's hard to recognize pride in ourselves. Danger number one. Number two danger, we know it well. Pride leads to destruction or ruin. You can read Isaiah 14, most likely Lucifer's statements, I will statements, those five statements. I'm going to be like God. I'm going to sin like God. I'm going to be better than God. And what happened? He was cast down. And it's the same trap we fall into of trying to be like God without God, trying to do things without God, thinking we're okay. And it's nothing new. Adam and Eve did the same thing and they were cast out. So it leads to ruin. So what humility is not, before we look at what it is. Humility is not vanity. That's obvious. What is vanity? It's a magazine, right? No, I don't know. It's that attitude that is consumed with thoughts of myself. A Dutch painter went out in the many years ago trying to paint the great cardinal sins for those of us in that background. And when he got to the sin of vanity, very interestingly, he painted a wonderful portrait of a woman beholding herself in the mirror, and the mirror was held by the devil. Vanity. Humility is not vanity. Humility is also not forgetting your self-worth. It's not thinking that you're nothing, you're a loser, you're a nobody, you're not good at anything. As one writer said, it's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Humility is not bragging, because we're all good at something. And whatever we're good at has come from God. It didn't originate with me. I mean, the only thing that I can honestly say that originated with me is my sin. Everything else is a gift. It was given to me. It was developed. I had to participate in developing it, but it's a gift. So why would we brag about something that's been given to us? We should be bragging about the giver. Humility is not a doormat mentality. Never speaking up, never voicing your opinion, never causing anything out of the ordinary, always saying yes. That's not real humility either. So how does this humility work in our lives? First of all, humility is me seeing me as God sees me. Seeing myself as God sees me. That I'm not a worthless wimp, but a sinner saved by grace with the Holy Spirit working on the inside, bearing fruit on the outside. Our importance is the fact that we're a container for the treasures of God. When we go and buy a beverage in the store, are we more interested in the container or the contents? Is anybody going to buy an empty bottle of Coca-Cola? No. We want one full because we're interested in what's inside. And that's what makes us valuable. It's what's on the inside. We're just that container. And our value is based on our contents. That whatever good comes from us, it's not from us, but through us. I found this very interesting that one person said God has wisely designed the human body so that it can neither pat itself on the back nor kick itself in the buttocks. You thought I was going to say it. It's the attitude that understands and the view of ourselves that understands this. In me, in myself, nothing. Nothing. In Christ, everything. It's all because of Him. And all I need to do is to cooperate with that grace that's at work in me. And how do we cooperate with that grace? By listening and following that guy. That's all we have to do. True humility not only sees myself as God sees me, but it is revealed in how we treat others. Humility on display is you or I treating others more highly than ourselves. Is that not the epitome of what Jesus did? He thought of each one of us as higher and more important than himself. And that leads us to a life of joy. And that's also an acronym. J, Jesus first. O, others second. Y, yourself third. If you ever forget it, that's the word, joy. I want to live a life of joy. Jesus first, others second, myself, yourself third. And as we've already heard, Philippians tells us to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others as better than yourself. Humility is also childlike, not childish, but childlike. Because when the apostles, the disciples were arguing over who's number one, I'm number one, you're number one, I'm number one, I'm the best. Jesus took a little child, sat him on his lap, and looked at all of them and said, unless you become like this little child, you have no part in my kingdom. Children. What's some good things about children besides being cute? Because not all of us are cute, so they can't be that. Children are trusting and dependent upon their parents. For humility to work in our lives, we have to trust and depend on God. When stuff goes wrong, when people start getting angry and upset and accusing us or whatever, it requires us to have a total trust and dependence on God, that He will work it out. And I can tell you story after story how God worked things out in my life with people and situations. And in humility, just looks to Him. Not retaliating, not reacting, not panicking. Children understand they depend on others. We do too. Another thing that allows humility to operate that's childlike is children know how to enjoy small things. Simplicity of life. We get older and we lose sight of the beautifully simple things that God brings to us every day. It happened to me, I don't know, maybe this week or last week, someone gave me a bag of my favorite coffee, Lavazza, Italiano. It's my favorite coffee. I've been drinking it ever since, whenever I went to England, that's where I first saw it. Silver bag, red letters, perfection. Perfection. And I hadn't had it in quite some time. And one, you know, that morning I woke up and I said, I'm going to crack it open today. Grind the beans, already smelling perfect. Put it in my espresso maker. Got that first pull, that first sip. No joke. Instantly out of my mouth, I said, thank you, God, that you let these Italians figure this out. Because without espresso, my life would be rather dreary, and I would not have nowhere near as much enthusiasm. Simple, just coffee beans, but I thoroughly enjoyed it because it drew me to my loving Father. Children can see good in things. They have a very innocent, pure heart. And for us, we should see the good in things, especially in people, especially in those people that irritate the daylights out of us. Find the good. You may have to dig deep on some people, believe me. But there is something good about them. Find the good. We focus too much on the negative things. And the Lord corrected me on that a while back. I'm driving down the highway, and there was this beautiful, one of my top few cars driving by, a BMW M Series. Anybody know the M Series? German lightning bolts, faster than the speed of sound. And this one's cruising by, beautiful. I saw it's coming by, the rims are perfect, man. Got the red, you know, braked calipers in there, the M logo. I'm like, man, that's a beautiful piece of German precision, much like myself. I wasn't supposed to say that out loud. But it's cooling by, and as it's pulling around, you start to hear the exhaust, and it's getting better and better and better. And right there on the rear passenger quarter panel, an ugly dent. And immediately my mind was like, what a shame. The car is ruined. And immediately the Lord said, how can you not see the 97% of the car that's perfect? And all you see is the 3% that's not. How many times do we do that in our lives? Because we fail to see the good things, the 97% of good in our lives. If we want to remain humble, we have to see good things. Lastly, humility focuses on the cause, not applause. The last part of our reading, Jesus tells the man who invited him, hey, next time you give a dinner, invite everybody that can't do anything for you. Just feed the poor and the hungry and the homeless, and you will be rewarded at the resurrection. We are not to seek praise in prominent places and the gaze of adoration, but at times we receive them. How do we handle that? My reply is thanks be to God. It's the answer to everything. You look great today. Thanks be to God. That's wonderful perfume you have. I don't wear perfume, sorry. Cologne. Thanks be to God. I like your shoes. Thanks be to God. Did you get a nice haircut? Yes. Thanks be to God. It's the answer to everything. Because in all the good in our life, we should all point back to our Heavenly Father. We have to examine our life's motives. Are we serving the gospel or are we serving ourselves? One of the things that helps me in those moments when I'm getting aggravated and frustrated, which does happen, I remember that I'm living for the audience of one. And he is a retired carpenter. And his name is Jesus. I live for him. Saint Ignatius prayed a prayer that I would like to share with you because Saint Ignatius is a pretty cool guy. He says, Lord, teach me to be generous, to give and not count the cost, to fight and not heed the wounds, to labor and not look for any reward, save that of knowing that I do your will. Humility looks at the cause, not for applause. And as we close, you can't be here at Christ Church without mentioning C.S. Lewis at least once, and I think I'm down on my quota. So fortunately, he pulled through today. And he said this, as long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things. and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see anything that is above you. Andrew Murray said even more bluntly, pride must die in you, or nothing of heaven can live in you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, being right is so much more fun than being humbled. Remaining defensive is so much easier than offering kindness. Getting even is more instinctive than getting low. We find ourselves in need of your grace every day. Thank you for convicting us without condemning us. Father, forgive us for justifying our haughtiness, coolness, and even our withdrawal. Forgive us for investing more energy in propping up our reputation than working for reconciliation. Forgive us for confusing the self-righteous monologue we've carried in our heads with prayer. We've only been talking to ourselves and not to you. Forgive us for relishing in the thought of being right when our attitude has been all wrong. Forgive us for being passive in the face of a potential messy situation rather than being an active peacemaker. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Bring glory to yourself and gentleness to our hearts. May we have the mind of Christ and a good gospel outcome all our days. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.